All right, and I'm live. Hello, friends. Welcome to the End Evil podcast. Evil is the destruction of freedom, just like it was last week and the week before. Thanks for joining me. I'm glad to be here. It's March 20th, and I think it's a great time. I've been thinking a lot in the last few weeks after the Freedom Under Natural Law conference about new creative ways to reach folks with messages of freedom and truth and natural law. And today I have with me an awesome guest. This is Chris Youngblood. Thanks for joining us, Chris. Chris hit me up right before the final conference, and he's like, I do poetry. Can I make a contribution? And I've been trying to figure out how to connect and get him on the show ever since, and we managed to finally get it happening tonight. So thanks for joining us, Chris. How are you doing?
Excellent. Thanks for having me, Chris. It's an honor to be here, man. Been a watcher of your content for a long time. So it's an honor to be on your show.
Oh, I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's just, to me, it's always been kind of magical being able to connect with people that watch the show. Number one, it's amazing that, you know, there's people out there that actually watch it and enjoy it. It's like, all right, cool. Yeah. But several times, you know, like the whole goal of my whole journey and mission with doing the End Evil podcast is to encourage other people to do this work as well. And so any kind of return on that investment, it always feels good. So I appreciate that. So looks like we got Chris Nelson and Derek in the chat, and probably some other folks that haven't piped in yet, but I always appreciate seeing people in the chat. Thanks for joining us. We're here with you live today.
I see Nathan in there too. What's up, Nathan?
Nathan Webb, right on. Yeah. Happy equinox.
Yeah. It actually snowed. So I live in the Chicagoland area. It snowed here. So I kind of made a joke like, oh, wow, it's snowing on the first day of spring, you know? But it actually cleared up. It warmed up and the snow just melted like that. It was kind of crazy. So,
man, I stayed in Chicago briefly. Much earlier in life, and it literally blew me away how cold it was. Remember being wearing like four layers, you know, like an undershirt, sweater, another one, and jackets. Sure. And it was like the wind would hit you across that water and you might as well be naked. Yeah, it was really cold, my experience in Chicago.
And only hits you like it hits you directly and at a certain angle. Like it likes angles in this town, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. Around the corner and
around the corner, it's just bam, you know? Yeah. But yeah, we definitely get all the seasons here, that's for sure. You know, which is cool, you know, in its own right. So
have you been able to connect with any other like freedom minded individuals or natural law following folks in your area at all?
In my area, like I'll talk to people about natural law. Like, I know, what's his name? Lives in Chicago, the Chicagoland area. He was at the Funnel Four. I've been meaning to connect with him. Conrad. Yeah.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. Conrad lives around me. So I'd like to, you know, hook up with him at some point. There's a gentleman that, I've made friends with who lives near me, who actually does a lot of content. He's definitely about like what's going on in the world, but from more of a school aspect. He's a professor. His name's John Klychek. Some of you might have heard of him. He wrote a book called New School Order, and he lives like 40 minutes away from me. So that's another gentleman too. Check his work out. Klychek is K-L-Y-C-Z-E-K. But he also talks about the Trivium method a lot too. You know, being a professor, it's cool that he actually talks a lot about the Trivium method and how to use it as well. So, and actually a lot of his, if you've heard of Charlotte Easerbeat, he spent some time with her, you know.
He
spent some time with her and really went into some of her files, and she showed him before she died some files that she had that he got to use for that work and that New School Order. So he's kind of taking you know, the work that she did as well as what's the guy's name, John, the other guy who did kind of similar to what Easerbeat did. You know, he was a former professor. Can't think of his name right
now. I'm not the best of names either. I wish that was my department.
Anyway, he kind of took Easerbeat's work and his work. I'm sure someone in the chat will probably throw it in there. And he kind of went with it, what's going on now in the world and how.
Oh, Coleman?
Yeah.
Coleman, John Coleman, huh?
Not John Coleman. I know John Coleman, though. He was a guy who wrote about Tavistock Institute.
Right. That's a different guy.
Yeah. But let's see if someone said it. No, I don't want to put it in the chat. Anyway, but he took his work, and he's kind of seen what's going on in the school system right now and is going, goes through that in his book. And how kids are, like, now putting on wearables, and how AI is being integrated into the school system and curriculum, so, which is not good to hear. But in the end of his book, though, he talks about the trivia method and how that can be brought back. So he offers solutions at the end of his book.
Well, that's good. I mean, largely it blows me away in all the alternative media that I look at, like how rare it is to see anyone that will go to that last kind of solutions. You know, like you're going to present all these problems, but then not offer people any kind of solutions. I always find that a little frustrating. It's rare to find someone that will go there.
Yeah. But, I got a read tonight called iSolution.
Right on. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was just going to post your, I have a link to your Substack. I don't know if it's the best link to use, but it's one I found right before we were talking.
No, that's completely fine. Yeah, that's the one.
And whenever you're ready, I'd love to hear.
Sorry, someone put in there, John Gatto.
Oh, sorry. John Gatto.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. John Taylor Gatto, yeah.
John Taylor Gatto. I don't know why I could not think of his name for the life of me. Anymore.
Yeah, now it makes perfect sense. But, yeah, that's the way it is. So, yeah. Yeah, so we're going to get to hear some live poetry. Chris is going to share with us a poem and hopefully a few. I think we can probably go through a few and then talk a little bit about how they affected, you know, how you came across this art and then how it ties into the subjects of natural law and such, if we can. So if you're ready, the floor is yours. I'd love to hear a poem.
Yeah, so I'm going to read a few poems tonight, but also on my Substack, I do write essays. I have some allegories that I have done and short stories. Some of those allegories and short stories deal with shadow work. Some of them deal with just living free. A lot of there are essays on natural law in there. I've even done some podcasts on my Substack on natural law as well as eugenics. So, you know, I cover a lot of ground, but poetry is something that I definitely like doing on there. And, you know, sometimes my poetry, I'll rhyme it. Sometimes I don't. For the most part, I do like to rhyme in my poetry. This first one has a little bit of rhyming, but not too much. But this one is called I Remember, but it's E-Y-E. So it's not I the letter, it's E-Y-E like your third eye. And actually, when I start out the poem, and all of my poems that I have in here, I'll have the lyrics to the poems if you go to Substack. But in some of them, I'll also have audio. So I'll also have an audio track, so I'll read it off. But if you read this particular one, I Remember, I start off with saying I forgot. And I actually use the letter I, like the ego I. And then when I start to get more into the poem and I say I remember, that's when I bring in the E-Y-E. So just kind of, you know, because you can't read the lyrics. So I just thought I'd tell you that. All right. So again, it's called I Remember. Emptied from the waters, the womb, nine digits assigned to replace nine planets aligned. Who told you were naked? The I, not the I. I forgot I am pure energy disguised as matter. I forgot the entanglement with divine. I forgot the reason I came to labor. I remembered those nine digits, though, the last four especially testing what I thought I'd know. Ingrained into me, a grain of sand, not special, devoid, hurled out into the void. The nine planted to show individuality, but no real specialty, hiding amongst the leaves once the innocence had ceased. But I remember. I remember the wounded healer who doused the wound with alcohol and stitched with grace. I remember the green language in my mother's face. I remember being dismembered and sewed back together. Wisdom found, unveiled, and pulsed through the caduceus. I am the hawk in the tabernacle and I pierce through the veil. I am not material nor the sum of my mistakes. As the storyline changes, so the director. the sum of all in the now, truly meta, endless possibilities with the moral compass, objective moral power meets entropy moral decay, the whitest teeth meet Skid Row fangs, strengthen one, strengthen the many, not digits, quantifying quantum, our fulcrum, I remembered, to heal the stone set on my fellow's heart, spark the co-creator hidden within the bark. I remember the past is not written, merely hidden, healed at the speed of light, to return and take flight. The light will illuminate those who open and burn those who close, but the free will of the observer has the choice which it will be. I am the cause of the effects around me. Caught the lightning bolt hurled freely, pointed into the temple, absorbed, redistributed 1,000 orbs. The light pulses through the dead energy. Now I extract, counteract, straight metallurgy. These properties, writes not on paper, not participating, not interested in catching vapors. I remember now there be mad deals thrown my way. Circumstances, yes, but never once did I stray. Just had to be hit with the bolt to give me a jolt, remember the truth, and pulsate it out with the vigor of youth. The stitching done on the wound, now stitching the white robe, fitting it now, tracing the points across three modes, no longer naked, not in my own head. I remember to help wake the dead and live a life to keep spirit well fed.
Yeah, right on. I love that. I personally really love rhymes. My whole life I've been excited about rhymes and puns, which a lot of people don't seem to appreciate the way some of us do. It's cool hanging out with Derek, who's on our chat, and he's a rhyme sayer, word player.
Yeah, he just drops rhymes when he's talking. I love it.
yeah, you know, bilingual as well. Yeah. And he just lets them flow. But what I'm noticing I really like about your style is that you kind of got this kind of almost guy from the street, almost like a rap kind of, you know, which is cool. And then mixed with obviously good command of English language and some words, and kind of blending it all together with this crazy mix of experience we have of being in this wacky world and recognizing things that other people don't, which just adds for such a juxtaposition. Perfect. Yeah. Poetry. What got this one inspired, do you remember?
I think just for this one, a lot of the work I had done on myself and just being very into ancient Egyptian mysticism, you know, kind of, and you'll see that throughout some of these other poems, you know, and a lot about what the ancient Egyptians lived in their life. I mean, they were around for so many thousands of years, and their rulers knew about Ba'at, right, and the laws of Ma'at and how to live by them and show examples. So a lot of that has to do with my journey. Like when I went into shadow work and had my dark night of the soul, I was doing shadow work at the same time as I was kind of reading over the myths of Osiris and Horus and integrated those things into myself at the same time. So that was very beneficial for me.
And did you cut yourself up in little pieces and bury yourself underground under a pyramid? That's what I did. No,
a little bit, you know?
And I've been reading some Joseph Campbell recently, and he kind of like explains how a lot of those myths are kind of like metaphors of our own personal journey, right?
Absolutely. You know, and that's the thing too. I tried to really, when I said remembered, I really had one of those parts, you know, being membered back together, right? And it was Isis that did that, right? So wisdom helped put him back together.
Right, too. And I was kind of thinking like be a member, like, you know, modern society wants you to be a member of things, right? And you have to remember not to be a member.
Dude, you'll see, like, the thing is, it's crazy. When you get into wordplay, you see how much the word spell is there and how, you know, the pure form of the word or the pure form, and I'll get into this later when we get into some of these other poems, it's, you know, been inverted. And that's really what evil is. It's an inversion of the good, and it's not creative, right? Because it's taking what's already there and inverting it. It's not adding anything new, you know? So yeah, they can absolutely do that and take the words from the original meaning. And, you know, what I'm trying to do is bring it back, you know, to the pure, the form of it, so that it can help the person who hears it go more into their pure form.
You know, I've been just having some flashbacks of a memory of a game show I used to watch with my folks. So it would have been pretty young. But I remember this game show, they would actually break apart words, and they had these little like ball, ping pong balls that would roll into a thing. And they would have like three letters like INT or, you know, tend, T-E-N-D or something. And then like knowing whether those root words are Latin or, you know, being able to figure out words was like, I don't remember how the game worked, the game show, but it kind of stuck in my head over the years because my dad was real into wordplay and looking up words in the dictionary and looking up the etymology. And just like those little ping pong balls rolling around in my head, whenever I hear especially bigger words, I find myself taking apart the pieces and seeing where does that piece show up in another word somewhere else. Take a word like introspection, right? You can say intro, okay, like an intro of a book, or in, into, right? And then you say spec. What does spec sound like? Inspect, circumspect, I suspect. And then chin, you know, and think of all the other words in chin and how it shows up. You know, and you can really, like, I've many times found a word that I didn't really know what it meant, but just by going through and breaking it in pieces, I was able to kind of discern what it probably means. And then you look it up and it turns out, well, it's pretty close, you know?
Yeah.
And doing that, it allows you to take apart these words that have been spun through history, through various iterations, and kind of like re-put them together in a way that makes more sense to us. And I really love doing that because I think it's part of the magic and the sorcery behind being a truth teller in this world is reinventing our language.
Absolutely. 100%. And, you know, added to what you were just talking about and, you know, like the many, you know, many things that a lot of us learn from our Passio, but etymology, you know, he definitely had a grasp of that. Obviously him, you know, he grew up learning Latin, you know, and so that kind of also with etymology and just kind of looking at that really helps you learn kind of the history of words and where things kind of connect too.
Yeah. Like the sword, right? The word is our power in this world to change things. And you put that S in front of it, it kind of exemplifies, you know, that it's only one letter away from really cutting into something.
Well, in the throat and the tongue. I mean, the tongue is like a sword, you know?
Right. Right. Every war that's ever happened in history starts with propaganda, right? I mean, before you can motivate people and get them to fight, you have to give them a reason, you know, and that all happens by broadcasting messages and stories into the world. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And also freedom. I mean, look at Tom Paine, you know, and Common Sense and what that did and how that, you know, the swirl around that, you know, and how quickly that book sold, you know, or pamphlet at the time sold, you know.
Yeah, that's one guy that really lights me up in history. I've always been very interested in Thomas Paine and his story, especially that bit where, you know, he's here encouraging this whole revolutionary ideas and probably writing a lot of the documents that other people claimed. And he was definitely, it seemed like, one of the most prominent writers about freedom during that time. And it does seem like his voice kind of got dulled to some extent in order for people to make these ideas sell to others. But then he kind of gets like things calm down to an extent with the whole American Revolution. He goes to France and gets involved in all the business over there.
Yeah.
And the same revolutionaries that, you know, were starting shit based on his writings now want to string him up.
Yeah.
And chop his head off because he thought they were going too far with things in terms of killing the king. And he didn't see that as being good morality. So, I mean, there's certain things about his life and story that show that he was like a pretty hardcore personality and character, and he did things based on like a deep knowing from inside himself, not because it was attractive to the crowd, because a lot of people did not like him, especially what he wrote about Christianity and religion.
You know? Yeah, he definitely died in obscurity, you know, and very lived a very lonely life there at the end because of what you just mentioned.
Yeah. Right, right. So being a truth teller is not always fun or exciting, but.
But it's authentic.
Yeah.
It's authentic. Yeah. All right. Let me go to this. I'll go to this next one. So
I know.
This next one, actually, these next three that I'm going to read, I started on January 1st doing like a poetry project on Substack where I'm doing 12 poems. And they're all going to be audio. So it'll have the lyrics, but it'll also have audio. I've done 9 so far, so I have 3 more to go. 12 being an auspicious number, that's why I chose 12. But I started that on January 1st. So if you go to my Substack and you anything from January 1st till now, you'll find those 9. There are 3 things I've posted those since January 1st that aren't part of that project. So if you do want to follow it, the 3 ones that aren't part of that is one's called Intermission. Another one is a little podcast I did, like a 10-minute called Who Will Spray the Skies. And that is actually about, I won't go into it much, but like, you know, we get this question about, you know, who will pave the road. So I kind of flip it on its head and say, well, who would spray the skies? Like, who will spray the skies? It's us that does that, right? Bill Gates isn't going to go up there and do that shit, you know? And then another one's called A Stage Fusing. So those 3 don't have anything to do with the project, but so these next 3 are going to be from that. And this one's called Quintessence. And some of the things that I'm doing when I put these poems in, I might choose like the number might have something to do with it. So Quintessence was actually the 3rd poem that I did in this project, but I released it on January 5th. So Quintessence, you think of the number 5, right? So I'm going to go with this one now. So again, it's called Quintessence. The 5th element, 5 senses to stay relevant, mixed it up from the mix up, broke it apart from the breakup. The watcher had to shake up the loose fit of the makeup. A walking conglomerate, General Electric, the original dimension, the metric. Imparting divine will to the suns, the truest asset. To the so-called rulers, I'm offensive like Tet. Cause I smell of natty law, freedom, and morality. They spray cologne through the water hose with followers slaving a salary. But the stench stays while my brothers and sisters walk through their maze, turning a dark phase into glorious days. Like Isaac Hayes, we stand accused of loving. Man's inhumanity to man is why we're bugging. Spread the love, spread the word, let the dam be broken. No more hoping, live it cause you're chosen. Or you chose, maybe both, embody both. Wrestling with Kronos while Saturn wants to tap in, not letting it happen. Pull the figure 4 corners move, and he serenely submits to the middle groove. My young love of Sherlock Holmes and MCs dropping math was a forerunner to the trivium and quadrivium path. I've traced the steps all the way back to that place near the river. In this life and the ancient one, they're connected, the 8th figure. I hope this finds you and primes you for the task and purpose, and repurpose the gifts from the past to the surface. Consider me the master of ceremonies, bringing forth honestness. I'm a hermetic MC. I drop mercurial consciousness.
Yeah, like a diesel automatic with a natural lawyer. I love that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I love that, dropping it down.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of this, you know, is somewhat spoken word poetry, right? So like you said, it might have kind of a street kind of feel to it. But I'm very much inspired, you know, hip hop I grew up on, but I'm very much inspired by like William Blake as a poet. You know, he was very much a hermetic poet, you know, in his work, but he, you know, my style was completely different than his, right? But, you know, still very much influenced by him and his work.
Yeah, yours has this kind of fun, modern, subtle sarcasm and little like hints to aspects of our society that are crooked and weird and wrong and backwards, you know. So
yeah,
like that Quintessence. I've just been recently, I'm doing some writing myself and going back through some of my work on the Tesseract, what I called the 4D light cube, you know. And I did this presentation back for Seed Conference that was,
I remember that,
describing all the walls of this, you know. I thought a lot about that, the imagery, and there's a YouTube video and all these little like boxes drop on everybody's heads. I think everybody's seen this by now, you know, In Shadow. Yeah. And just like that, you know, we've got these boxes that are formed of all these aspects of our culture that indoctrinate us, that culture us into being that grow us into the beings we are, because we're not starting from the beginning with our creative word and being encouraged in that direction. I'm curious for you in school and growing up, obviously you always had a flair for language and words. Was that encouraged by your community and your educators or not? How was that experience for you?
No, not really. I mean, you know, I sang in high school. I was like in the choir and stuff too. So I did that. I played in band in middle school. I stopped playing in band because I did sports in high school, but I did still sing in the choir. You know, so I did do, I still participated in those kinds of things, but as far as poetry, no, I mean, that really wasn't something that was encouraged. That was something I kind of just on my own. And that was when I was writing in notebooks, you know, and throughout my 20s, I actually would do spoken word. At the time, I did it at some clubs, and my name back then, I had a stage name. It was Friction. That was the name of Friction, which actually came from a De La Soul song called. Yeah. So it's actually there's a De La Soul song, which I love, called I Am I Be. And at the start, it's all these people saying, I am this, I be this, right? I am, they'll say their name and I be this. And then Q-Tip from Tribe Called Quest just comes in real quick and he goes, I am Q-Tip, I be Friction. And when I heard that, because I was looking for a name and I heard that shit, and I was like, that's what I'm going with. I'm going with Friction. yeah, but now, you know, the name of my publication is Young Blood Elixir. And so actually these... You know, and not all my poetry, like I've done poetry in the past through my Substack, but in this particular project I'm doing, and maybe when I'm necessarily doing like the spoken word aspect, because I'll do poetry that's not really spoken word too. If it's spoken word, I'm going under Young Blood Elixir. So if you see these poems, it'll say Poetry by Young Blood Elixir. So, but Young Blood Elixir is also the name of my publication.
I was going to ask you... before I make the comment I'm thinking about, I was curious. I know you were there for at least part of the final conference, this last one. Yeah. Any takeaways or things that stood out for you?
Oh, I mean, like, well, you know, Brandon Martin's declaration was
in. Oh, I saw you reposted that on your Substack.
Yeah, it did, man. I wanted people to see that, you know. I definitely wanted people to see that. You know, ending the day with that was awesome. Your presentation was great. And by the way, I do remember your presentation at Seed and how you kept saying, put it back in the box and you would have that box come in. I do remember that. I think what was great is, you know, and I know that you were looking to do this as well as a lot of the other people. I know this was big with Leslie, and hi Leslie, I see you in the chat, is getting people inspired, you know, and it definitely inspired me to keep going and to act and, you know, maybe to start putting forth more videos on natural law and getting back. That's the other thing I'm going to do too. When I'm done with these 12 poems, I'm really going to get back to focusing specifically on writing about natural law, you know, when I'm done with this little project. So it's definitely inspiring. I love seeing Jackie's presentation on, you know, to start out the first day. That was incredible, man. And I know that was her first presentation, like her first big presentation. It's phenomenal. So
yeah, I was particularly impressed by hers as well.
Yeah.
But like, it's funny you brought up Conrad, that he lives not too far from you. Conrad's about music, and then Leslie Powers about the music. And there were a few other correspondences in the conference as well that all kind of left me with this recognition that, okay, one of the things I've criticized about the mental manipulation going on in the world is the way that people get subconsciously mesmerized or hypnotized, you could call it, right? And then when I've looked into hypnotism or interviewed someone about hypnotism, you get someone in the right brain, in their imaginative place, and people are more susceptible to messages in that place. It's just part of how the brain works.
Yep.
And so, you know, for years of trying to do podcasting and just talk about it from a left brain kind of explaining it point of view, I'm like, I think I really need to work more on the creative aspect going forward. That was one of my big takeaways from the conference. Get back into some of my music, get back into my writing. I'm trying to publish my book this year.
That's great.
Sarah's actually helping me with that, and she mentioned that in the comments. So having you here is very synchronistic timing in that I do want to go more in the direction of what are the arts we can use to inspire people to go down these roads? Because once you start speaking out, writing, whatever form, I find a lot of release of tension and stress and feeling like you're finally on the right side of things. And I'm curious, I'd like to hear your next poem, but I also like to know your comment on what I just said.
There is a release in that because, you know, and I get this too when I write allegories as well, you know, or short stories that are creative. And you can look at it on my Substack, there's a short story I wrote called Healing Across Time, Bonding in a Field. And it's a short story that I did, and I was just inspired by it so there's a field by my house, and when it's warm out, I like to go there in the morning and shadow box. I meditate there, and then sometimes I'll shadow box. And I was shadow boxing, and I noticed there was this old man, and I'll try to be quick on this, but there was this old man sitting on a bench, and there was just something magnetic about him. And I just had this crazy idea, like, what if this is me when I'm an old man? You know, when I came back to see myself, you know, and then I had this idea that just hit me like this could be like a short story because I had recently kind of finished the majority of the shadow work that I had done. And part of that, and a lot of us do this, is I went back to a time, a certain instance when I was a little boy and I healed myself and I talked to myself, to my little boy, and I healed myself in the past. And so when you do that, you're healing your past, you're healing your present, and you're healing your future. Right. So I immediately after I was done, I walked back home and I wrote this short story. I mean, it just like came out of me. It just flowed out of me. You know, so to say that, yeah, it released tension because if I wouldn't have got that out, that would have just been there and that idea would have been there. And sometimes you need to kind of have ideas float around and then you sit down and write them, right? You kind of have this idea or you have notes. I mean, I do this all the time. I'll have like a couple of bars that kind of come to me that are rhymes and I'm like, oh shit, I got to write that down. I'm not ready to sit down and write the whole motherfucking poem, right? But I can sit down and, you know, I can write it down. So yeah, it definitely releases tension for sure. And the other thing I'll say about that before I get to the next one is, I love that you're doing that. I love that you want to write again, Chris. That's awesome, dude. And the other thing is like, we're all not just one mode, right? We're all not just left brain. We're all not just right brain. So we have a lot of gifts that we can give. I mean, there's musicians here too, right? But also they put out content or they put out presentations at the Funnel Conference or Seed or what have you. So, you know, being a holistic being, you can offer a lot of different gifts to the world, not just one, you know?
Yeah. And real quick, before you get into the next one, I'm getting the feeling that you train in terms of some kind of boxing self-defense. Kind of the look of somebody who keeps their body in shape and doesn't put up a lot of crap. So I think that's a huge important thing too that I find very inspiring as well, is to walk into the world with that confidence of somebody who practices and prepares for whatever situations you might encounter, right?
Absolutely. There's a difference between kind and nice. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, so let me, so the next one is Infinite Rambler. And this one was actually poem number 8, right? So when you look at the number 8, you know, it's infinite, right? So again, this one's called Infinite Rambler. And when we're done, I want to talk a little bit about, so the first line that I say in here, and I'll just say it because it's one line. The first line I say in here is, the only flags I see in my fellow man is the symbol of Netter. And when we think about, right, there's the flags of all the states, right? When we see a flag, it's like, what state is that? And I'll get into also, when I'm done here, about that word state of mind, right? And when we see a flag, we think state, right? Well, the original symbol for the Netters, right, which is the Egyptian gods or Netter, right, which the etymology is to nature, and the Netters were elemental powers, right? Elemental powers both within nature and within you, you know, the modern term would be an archetype, right? But it was a flag, you know, it looked like a flag. It also looked like an axe, right? Because it basically was like a pole with cloth streamers attached. And if it was drawn out, of course, we didn't have photos back then, or, you know, we're not seeing, we see them in hieroglyphs or what have you. It can look like an axe. And I actually use the word axe in here. I use the word axle as well. And when you think about an axle, right, that's being centered, right? You know, whatever it is, whatever tool you're using, right, the axle keeps it centered, right? And you can swing the tool. So I also have a little double entendre that maybe you'll catch with when I say axle at some point. But anyway, all right, so I'll start. So the only flags I see in my fellow man is the symbol of Netter. Give them the key to shed the fetter. No time for patriotism. That's a rush to judgment like Getty Lee to atheism. If we working in the infinite, how can we go back? Time to jump off this linear track. Don Cornelius this soul train. Shaman Funk walk this cold rain. Spray a love supreme like Coltrane. Find your essence, but have patience like a rose swinging on its axle. More connected than coaxial. The answer's not in the system. That's an incision into the brain causing fission, clouding vision, resulting in you shooting up like a piston. Programmable mammal versus controlling cannibal. Fabian slow drip on Hannibal. So caught up in the matrix, forgot how to be basic. So shaded from the light, forgot how to be ancient. Sharpened nose on the wrong axe, forgot nature's fragrance. Instead of the key, a key word triggers a nation of MKUltra patients. On radio-free Europe stations, they spread tyranny of the majority, infiltrate privacy to predict trends like a report minority. A whore they be. Jack up this pirate radio, no fee on these waves, be it air or sea. My C note, message in the bottle will sting like rays. That's my wealth, not a C note. The seeds note what grimy mud cultivated the free quote. Not a death pledge, a mortgage quote created by funny money company men folk. Honor, infinite, the subtle spirit that never dies. As long as humanity hears, the call will always arise. Censorship on the rise, so I guess we go back to word of mouth. I'm down, my axe is sharpened, let's go chop wood and start a fire. So our offspring will create a wellspring and hold tight to what is higher. Our legacy will step off into the new frontier. Not a where or when, but what has always been near.
Wow. I love that one. That was fantastic.
Thank you.
That's a great one. Oh, I wish I could remember the parts I like the best, but they come and go so quick.
Yeah. Did you catch the, so like I said,
Axl Rose.
Axl Rose, right. Have patience like a rose swinging on its axle.
Yeah, I did. That was good.
And I threw in more connected than coaxial. But yeah, like back to what I was saying with the Netter. So, you know, think about like a flag, right? And you see it immediately and you think state, right? So you think like, what state, you know? And now your state of mind is, and when we think about government, right? Meant mind, state of mind, you know? And so really your original state is your connection to the divine, right? Is your statement to the world? Yeah. You know, or your, right. Or your original state, you know, and mm-hmm. when you come out, it's when you come out of the womb, you're given those nine digits that I mentioned earlier, right? I said nine digits assigned to replace nine planets aligned, but you're also, you know, given these flags, right? And then you salute the flag, you pledge allegiance, but the original flag is your connection to the divine, right? That's the Netter. So, you know, and then again, just thinking of government and mind, you know, I have a poem I'm going to read here in a couple where I mention the governor channel, right? Or the governor vessel. And we'll get to that later, but, you know, just kind of thinking about the governor vessel runs up and down your back, right? So that deals with your spine and meditation. So that's another thing, like when I think of the Netter, when I think of the governor channel, these are actually, you know, parts of you, but they're inverted by these systems of government.
Yeah, like they're externalized and turned into symbols of control, and your body and your mind recognize the archetypal flavor of them and wants to use them, but it's being done in such a foreign way to disrupt the system. You know, the flags from the time we're young, you know, I was like, one of my life stories is realizing when I was real young, like, what are we doing here?
Me too.
Asking that question, yeah. Like, to my parents, like, why are they telling me to pledge allegiance?
It just seemed, yeah. I mean, like, it seemed very ritualistic. And the thing is, I know you've talked about you went to church as a child a lot, you know, and I did too. So it was kind of like, wait a second, what, we're doing this too? Like, it seems, and I remember even at the time thinking about, I thought there was separation of church and state. What's going on here?
Yeah, and then it's like, in God we trust on the bills, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's all kind of a mixed up weird mess. Gosh, there was something you were saying that I wanted to riff on a little bit, but now it's escaping me.
I'm sorry. That's probably because I was talking.
No, it's good stuff. Because my mind's thinking about, you know, trying to make a lot of different connections and weave a lot of things together. And language is really interesting because, oh, I remember what I was thinking about. I wanted to remind folks that thanks to Brendan, I got some copies of the book, The End of All Evil. And he's on Telegram if folks want to connect with him and order some. But I have a special deal on my website where you can get a book and some End Evil stickers. So if folks want to check that out, you can. But one thing that really tripped me out, you know, I love this book so much. I created the podcast around it, you know, the End of All Evil by Jeremy Locke. But he's got this chapter in there where he talks about culture. And it was kind of confusing to me because I've always thought of culture as a very positive term, positive connotation. But he comes off really like bashing culture. And when I first read the book, went through it a few times, I was like, that was the one part I kind of disagreed with. But over the years, I've realized more and more what he's pointing out is so true, that our culture is built around slavery. So these words like you're talking about, like make a statement, state how you feel, submit on the line here, like a lot of the mechanisms of our language have built in slavery aspects to them, because we're used to submitting and we're used to being part of a state and thinking in terms of collectivism. So it's built into our very language because that's the way the language was built, in this satanic me first kind of perspective. So the language that comes out of that, it's all embedded in there. So you're taking this language and you're finding all these funny parts and you're being like, hey, what do we got here? You know, and I think that's very beautiful, you know, put it back together in a way that helps people see some of that culture of slavery that's been, we've been dipped in.
And even in down to the minutia, you know, what I mentioned in the, when I was talking about the nine digits assigned, you know, talking about your social, right? That's basically what I was like referring to. And I said something like, I remember those last four digits though. What I thought I should know. And basically what I was referring to, you know, and you're around my age. Did you go to college, Chris? Did you like go?
I didn't. Okay. I got to visit a few of my friends in college and I realized that wasn't the path for me.
No worries.
I dodged that bullet.
You didn't miss anything. But no, I did. And like, you know, at that time, and that's why I was asking if you're my, you know, or saying you're around my age, because at that time, like when you wanted to see your tests, you weren't, you know, there were no apps, you were not checking it on your app.
Your Scantrons?
Like, yeah, you were basically like going to where the class was, and there, it would be on a wall, and it'd be printed out, but how you would identify who you were was the last four digits of your social. You know, and they would say, well, that's so, you know, if you got a bad grade, nobody else is seeing and shit. But, you know, it's like, it's kind of like you're just, it's just numbers. Like you're just a number on there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that was what I was referring to there.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But, all right. So this next one is I solution. So just like I remember, it's I solution, EYE. And this one also is part of the, is this one? Yeah. Yeah, this one is part of my my ongoing 12. All right. Yeah, all right. So I solution. I'm Horace, driving the Millennium Falcon solo. Went for external goal before I ran into rune. Creative principle turned me back around to rescue the rebel moon. Kill the death and explode the star to white light. Taking flight and breaking fight. I heard them say, I don't get him. No worries, the puzzle's for four chakras and up. Starting in with the gut. Go from the smut to ever cinematography nut. That spine tingling, mingling up the shaft, got me walking tall like Shaft. Protecting and serving my hood while showing the benefits of wood. I'm talking trees, the bees that pollinate the lotus seed. Gnosis of Lex Rex leads to cosmic sex. Natural law and order, the ideas to text. Went from a tabula rasa to an emerald tablet, walking erect. Added water solution to the eye, the fish lens Christ oil effect. Man's law about as natural as Ozempic thinner. I pay no mind because I'm a bald pharaoh and a gunslinger. Yul Brynner. That means I'm working the Nile through my magnificent seven. My bread's always coming unleavened. The chosen ones always suffer first, then thirst in the desert for an oasis. Champagne supernova occurs, lights up their faces. Two brothers of the same source fighting, opposing forces unionized, white lightning. A walking solution in the realm of matter, the higher self not scattered, but always present. A fire so potent, descendants will smoke the resin. If they burn down the library, the records are still in heaven. So I'll be solo in this one and OB1 in the next. Either realm I'm moving evolution along with no dark force, just the blue lightsaber, the throat, the tongue, thwarting the dark horse.
Yeah, Truth Jedi. Love it.
Yeah, and the throat chakra, the color for that is blue.
Yeah. It's so, you have so many ideas packed in that it's hard to pick just one out, but that's the truth of our reality. You know, there's all these correspondences and things that blend together, like in the day-to-day life we live. So you have family too. Are you a father?
I am. Yes. I have two boys. They're 17 and 13.
Yeah. I remember one of your poems I read had a bit about dropping off the sun or something like that. And I wanted to remember to ask you about that. And, you know, being a parent in this world's a pretty tricky thing, especially when you come to realize these things. How long has this all been sitting with you? Natural law, truth type stuff.
Yeah. And you have, real quick, because you asked me, you have kids, right? I know you have kids.
Yeah. They're pretty grown up now. 18 and 22, something like that. I always get a little mixed up. It's hard to keep up.
Yeah, that's cool, man. Do you have girls, boys, girl and boy?
Or? Two girls.
Two girls, nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, to answer your question, I mean, I was into conspiracy theory type stuff for years, dude. And I, you know, I went down a lot of rabbit holes, read a lot of books on it. You know, I do have a lot of knowledge there. But I came upon natural law like at a time in my life when I had just quit alcohol. I had had a divorce that I went through that was really rough on me, and you know, I had a dark night of the soul there, and really kind of went down bad and became an alcoholic. I already kind of was anyway, but it got worse after that. And I stopped drinking. I'm over two years sober now. But when I came upon Mark Passio's work in natural law, it was right at the right time in my life when I was kind of going through that dark night. And I actually just quit drinking. I was probably like 3 months sober. And it just, and the other thing is too, I had heard about natural law or looked into it back when I had, because I used to be kind of looking into theology, right? And I was really into Aquinas as well as Augustine. And they talk about natural law more so from a natural theology type aspect. So I was intrigued when I came upon this, and everything just kind of came together and made sense for me. And it was the basic principles that I had been looking for my whole life. And then everything just went from there, you know. And also being someone who for a long time in my life, I was into a lot of ancient Egyptian archaeology and the exoteric side of ancient Egypt. Then I really delved into the esoteric side So a lot of, you know, my spiritual practices that I do is mixed in with like ancient Egyptian mantras and Taoist cultivation and Taoist meditation.
Right on. Yeah. Well, we have some very similar threads of history then in terms of that. And then, I know.
Yeah, we do. I know that you talked about how you grew up. I think your dad was a preacher and you grew up Christian, and you've still taken some things from that, even though you're not a Christian anymore. And the same thing here. You know, I grew up in a Baptist family, dude. So, you know, I definitely learned my Bible. And the thing is, like, you know, it's good because I can kind of remember some of the verses that are worthwhile, you know, and a lot of the teachings that Christ did put forth, whether he was real or not, there's truth in a lot of them. So.
Right. And, you know, same is true of so many spiritual practices, you know, and that's kind of why I'm trying to find a way to differentiate spirituality from religion, because too often they get converged into the same thing when they're very different.
Right.
You know, but, you know, some of this art bridges some of those gaps. You know, I think some people that all of the rhetoric that's out there forces people into thinking left or thinking right or conservative or liberal or whatever. But when we do art and music, it transcends some of those boundaries and allows people to hear and listen to things in a different way, is my hope. So really want to encourage.
It's an esoteric language. It's an esoteric language. It speaks to the heart in a different way. You know, it speaks to the heart. And like you said, the right side of the brain in a different way. But it speaks truth in a, like, the thing about art is, you know, sometimes, and I do this sometimes in my poetry, it can really just kind of just get to the heart of the matter, right? In a way that is profound, that hits you, you know? And I love that. I love that about art. I mean, a lot of different art, you know, there's movie directors that I love that would do that, you know? So that's something that I've always thought about when it comes to anything artistic. But I mean, even like the way that presentations are, can be so artistic. Like you look at someone like Nate Capp, the way he does his presentations is beautiful, you know?
Yeah. The aesthetics are very
thought
out.
Yeah, dude.
All the way through every little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's an encouragement to anyone listening, you know, whatever forms of art that you might be working on, like, be inspired, use those to share with the world. And it actually is a self-growth process that we go through when we learn to express ourselves in the most honest ways that we can. And sometimes those transcend just literal words, right? And you know, I've done so many episodes on symbolism, so this all ties in really well. But yeah, I think I can tell that people in chat have been really enjoying your work, you know, really appreciating what you've been sharing. So maybe you can do one more before we wrap things up tonight. You got one more handy?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the other thing too I'll add to that is making it kind of your own style, and you're bringing out your own, and don't be afraid to do that. And even have a little fun with it, or comedy, or throw something in that might be like a pop culture reference, but yet goes with truth. You know, one example I have, it's not the poem, I won't read the whole poem, but one example I have, you know, I was talking about ancient Egyptian spirituality. Now, Chris, do you know who the famous NBA, well, he was an NBA Hall of Famer, played for the Lakers in the 80s, James Worthy?
No.
You don't remember James Worthy? Okay. So James Worthy, when I was growing up, like, he was one of my favorite NBA players, and his number was 42. He played with Magic and Kareem, so he was on the Showtime Lakers. And I just really, I dug him. I thought he was smooth. Like, I just liked the way he played. He's like one of the few players that could wear goggles. Like, he wore goggles his whole career and actually looked cool in them. You know what I'm saying? So I have this line here because, again, when you think about Ma'at, there's the 42 laws of Ma'at, and being worthy of that, you know, is your heart as light as a feather. And so I have this, and by the way, he had a really cool finger roll. And I play basketball still, and I played in the past, and I still play. So I have this line here. But this is like a way to like say something, but also have some fun with it and be funny at the same time. So it's like, I'm worthy of 42 for two reasons. Number one, my heart is light as a feather. Get Thoth on the scroll. Number two, like that Lakers Hall of Famer, I got the crazy finger roll. You can call me Big Game James, but this isn't a game seven. This is seven steps to heaven. You know, so shit like that, you know.
Stuff that rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, yeah. But he was also his nickname, because I said Big Game James. His nickname was Big Game James because he had a lot of big games in the playoffs. And my middle name is James, so that was kind of like a little thing I threw in there. And I agree with Henry. I see Beagle Eye. Yeah, I agree. Lakers, boo. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm a Bulls fan. I'm with you. But in the 80s when I was a kid, I kind of liked the Showtime Lakers. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I've always been a Bulls fan first, but that 80s era Lakers, I just liked them as a kid. But anything after that, no. All right, so I'll get to this one. This one's called Orbits Crash. And this is the last one I did, and this one is poem number 9. All right, so you'll see that I have some things in there here that have to do with the number 9. And this was the last one that I actually posted. So again, it's called Orbits Crash. Now this one deals a little bit with tantric stuff. So, but again, you know, it deals with creation, and I think that there is some beauty in tantric sex and understanding that, you know, there's an esoteric side to that as well. All right, so. I start with this one. The only governor on the vessel runs up and down the back. No state with a whip crack or agency pushing crack. Just the intertwining subtlety of essence felt, pushing boundaries through inner Van Allen's belt. How many times does Pluto have to prove that it's legit? The genius of a world sick. Poetic magician but won't consume yeast or eat crow. Lee is a decent gene when showing good camel toe. Some ham and hoe about multiple tantric shows. The ignorant just call them hoes while steady wet dreaming about Rome's bathhouse rows. It's India and 7-Eleven, open 24/7. Embracing the unknown, erasing the taboos, families about done raised, so this son raise at you. Fertilize the field for love, true care, and maybe puppy too. I guess I'll know that when I see it, feelings gone numb all the way through. I guess I don't understand the give and take when there is no shake and bake. Open 24/7 like Steak and Shake. I'm a former in-law who's now an outlaw, so why can't I just hang and we bang bang? I'll hire a piano player to jazz it up downstairs. I know you got places to be and musical chairs. How many cats I have to step over in this lair? Forget what I said. I'll hip you to the God in yourself and we can create. Bend the tension. It's there, unseen like a vape. You know, no, you don't have to wear a cape. This is a play, but one of the beginning. Naked and outside of time, Eden's winning. Boundless but yet extending into you, filling the void that rains down. Filling the void that rains down. Rise and fall like the waves. Sunlight fills your cave. The gods made. Multiple eruptions, worlds born within worlds got you questioning your assumptions. And I saw that it was good and rested. I am in all aspects. All forms, all in all. As we walk outside the garden, eyes meet and the sky darkens. The stage closes, but you hearken. Please don't be ungrateful if I don't answer. We would turn a beautiful thing into a cancer. It would die. We created eternity. Like Hendrix saying, if 6 was 9, call this a rehearse. Maybe in another realm we'll reverse. Yes, maybe I'm cold and distant. Maybe in other aspects persistent. But if I christen your new boat, doesn't mean I'm sailing. That's a different Christopher, so don't be cross that I'm bailing. I open you to new worlds. Go form your own bearing straight. I want to be free, and I want you to be. I am not the same. The past is not me. I live now, and the future is gathering colors. You don't want to be smothered. My love is deep, too deep to uncover, only recently discovered. How many times does Pluto have to prove that it's legit?
needs that ninth planet.
Yeah.
Right on. Great job, man. The way you read them is part of what's, you know, really fantastic too. I mean, it's one thing to be a good writer, but you got a flair for putting those words out. And I think the fact that you started vocalizing them on Substack is probably a really good idea, because you got a really good talent for that. I like it.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, the way you kind of mold the words together and make it flow. It's fun to listen to. I could tell people really enjoyed listening tonight too. So.
Thanks. Yeah, I see everybody in the chat. Thank you for the kind words.
Yeah. And you know, it's kind of inspiring me towards, I really feel like we need to work towards having more of like a arts and music festival. And it's something we've been kind of talking about for a future funnel type event, is to do something a little bit more in that direction. So it's something to look forward to.
Absolutely, dude.
Do you want to talk a little bit about the inspiration behind that one and some of the numbers? I noticed 7-Eleven comes up with you from time to time. I saw it in another one of your poems as well.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the other thing. Like, so, you know, India and 7-Eleven. So I was kind of playing with that, open 24/7, but just saying that I'm open to source 24/7, right? But also that I have been seeing 7-Eleven a lot lately, and 11-11. So
it's weird how numbers are that way sometimes, right?
I'm sorry?
Numbers, it's weird how numbers are that way sometimes. There's this synchronistic thing that starts happening.
Yeah. Or like if something happens and then you look, and then you look at the time, you know what I mean? And you see that. There's a friend of mine. So there's a, like, little things like this. So a friend of mine, I just saw her recently. Her name's Shelly. I'm part of what's called the Anartist Collective. And Shelly Olmsted has, and anyone who's an artist, please contact her. It's anartistcollective.com. You can get your work up on there, whether it's music, whatever. Comedy can be anything.
How's that spelled? Anartist?
Anartist. Anartist collective.com.
I'll put it in the chat.
And you can get in touch with Shelly. But Shelly's actually traveling across. She's taking the train from New York to California, and for this festival that she's helping put on in California. And so she stopped, one of her stops was in Chicago. So I went and saw her for a few hours when she was here the other day. But when I texted her, when I texted her last week. So here's the thing with her. 33 always comes up with her. 33, it's kind of this ongoing joke. She's in a Telegram group with a whole bunch of us, and we laugh about it. It comes up with her all the time. And I'm sitting in a car in my parking lot. I'm like, oh, I got to text. This was like the week before she was going to see me. I'm like, I got to text Shelly and find out when her train's getting on and everything. Like, so I text her. I just send her the text, right? Like, hey, let me know what's going on. As soon as I send the text, I'm just sitting in a parking lot. I look to my left. I just happen to look to my left. There's this building like over here. And it's just like a very nondescript building. And I see the address 333. And I'm just like, you gotta be kidding me, man. This is crazy. Yeah.
Like, that's my numbers right there. I don't know how many times I've woken up at 333, or I've even had a clock that was broken on 333 at the same time that it was 333 on a real clock. Like, weird stuff like that that's so far out. You're like, no, that's too much, you know.
That's too much, dude. The other thing that was kind of crazy about it too is, like, I mean, okay, think about numbers on a building. When do you ever see numbers on a building that the color is green? No, right, okay. So I saw her on St. Patty's Day. So I was texting her. She was like, it was on Monday is when I saw her, this past Monday, which was St. Patty's Day. That was the other thing I told her. I'm like, these numbers are in green too. Like, when is the numbers green for like any building ever in life? You know what I mean? So.
It's all meant to be, man. Well, I'm so glad you were able to, we were able to get together tonight, Chris. You know, maybe we can even do this again as your poetry collection grows. You know, maybe from time to time we can do another reading if you're down.
Sure. Because,
I mean, I appreciate your work, and everyone else here does. So
thanks, everybody, in the chat.
Made for a great show.
I saw my homie Josh in the chat. I saw Henry. What's up, guys?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, thanks, Chris, for having me on, man. It's an honor to be on here. You know, just watching your content and how you've grown even over the years has been really cool to watch. So it's an honor to be on here.
Yeah, thanks for the encouragement. And yeah, folks, check out Chris Youngblood's Substack and subscribe. And I'll give you the floor. Anything else you want to talk about or say before we close up for the night? It's all you. Thanks for coming.
No, just keep connecting to source and understand that, you know, the power that you have within you is really all that you need, and no one can take that away from you. You know, that's kind of what I try to put forth in my work, as well as that, you know, we are the microcosm of the macrocosm. So when you have a lot of people that know that about themselves and truly know that and stand in that and understand natural law, you really have a strength there that cannot be taken away. And I know why we're trying to talk about those basic principles, because when it all comes down to it, it doesn't really matter like how much you know about conspiracies going on. If you're strong in yourself and you're with people that are strong with themselves, nothing can stop that, you know? And also just, I think that, you know, we're, you know, and I'm hoping to live a long life. Like I take care of myself, so I want to live as long as I can. But, you know, I think that we're going to see here in the future, it's going to be a different kind of thing where people are going to understand the power in themselves and understand that, you know, there's a lot of supernatural aspects to their own abilities within them, you know, and they can discover those things, and you can't quash that.
Yep. What do they say? Reality is stranger than fiction. And I find that to be true. But the universe is looking back at us, and it wants to see what you got. So let's show it, folks. You know, this is your prize. This is your life, and this is your time. So do something inspirational with it, and be inspired by Chris's work. And I hope that lights a fire under everyone. Thanks for everyone for coming tonight. And we'll see you next week. We'll be back with another show.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Chris.
Take care. Much love. We'll be in touch.